her bit of holiday. We're going to visit Maritza's parents, Mossel Bay, and the week afterwards, that's going to be the Pastor Summit in Cape Town. So we're really looking forward to that, but we're not going to leave you orphan for those 2 weeks. Next week, our dear friend Aaron Skrieger will be in the pulpit, and he will, yes, when I speak of Arends, I almost want to say our beloved Arends. And then the week afterwards, Paul Botha, he's not here, he's away for the weekend. But the week after that, the 5th of December, you will be here. But before I start with my sermon, I know there's going to be a lot of things that we're doing this morning. But I really just want to ask Abigail to also come to the front, please. Now, unfortunately, you all know Dr. Panganai, her husband. He's doing a good work. He took someone to the doctor who was really in need of that. So it's really wonderful. That's just a testimony of who they are as a family. Now, I just spoke to Abigail before church started, and I still remember back in January, end of January 2009, when we did the leadership development training with Dani, and I was in a group, me and we had to pray together, me and Abigail and Pangan and I just sensed, I felt so welcome when I spoke to them, and I really felt, you know, afterwards, from then to now, I really feel like family. I remember visiting your house the first time, and there's a very, very young green pastor going there with my pluckies and my kortbroek, to see with a big shock that 7 out of 10 people that were there were medical doctors in suits and ties. So I felt very humble there, but I could see they were very friendly people. But the reason Abigail is standing here is, it's in a way it's sad for me, but also I'm very excited about that. And they are moving back to Zimbabwe. They are going to Harare. I'm very thankful that God has borrowed you for us here in Windhoek for a season. They've really been a blessing to us as a church. You know, many times when I needed a bit of advice, or, you know, an older person, you know, Dr. Pang and I was always there, and we had many great times together. So I just felt, I think they said they're going to leave on the 11th or 12th of December. And obviously I'll only be back in church by the 12th, that Sunday. So I'll probably not have an opportunity again to just send them and bless them and thank them for what I have done. And that's really what we want to do this morning. We want to say thank you, Abigail, on behalf of Pang and I as well, you know, for being a blessing to our church and contributing in so many ways and always just being friendly. And it's really nice to have you here, but I also trust that you are going back to Zimbabwe, to Harare, and that you'll be the light there, and that there will be a blessing on your house there, and that it will be a house of peace, as I know you guys. So if you have time afterwards, you can just say, please bless them and send them to Harare, and to keep them in your prayers, and I trust that it will be wonderful for you there. So thanks a lot for everything. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so at last, now we're going to get to the sermon. It's about 10 pages, so we'll be finished just before 1 o'clock. So you don't have to worry, it's not going to be that long today. But what I want to talk to you about is actually, I said it's the good news of the gospel, and then Francho also prayed it. Now it's actually wonderful how things work together. Oh, maybe just before I start that, there's another thing that I want to say. Just thank you for all the people that participated in Foundation 3, our legacy course during the past week. Those of you who facilitated, I know it took a lot of time, and especially those of you who've done it, I'm sure that you really were blessed. And I know that when we open our hearts to God's work, we're open for it, then He will always change us for the better. And I know, as I spoke to the people, that there already were a few testimonies on that. So, yeah, I'm going to speak. The past 2 weeks, we didn't preach that much, but it's nice that I have a few witnesses here for the things that I'm going to say, people that were also at my sister's wedding. And that has really been a blessing to me. You know, it was really nice to go down to South Africa and to spend some time there with our family and everyone getting together. And I also had the privilege, my sister asked me way back to marry them. And that was really a blessing to me. And as I say, I just want to testify a little bit on that, because I just saw a few things again that really meant a lot to me. Now, my heart was only to go and to bless them. But you know, as it says in Scripture, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I just went to bless her and Max, which is her husband right now. But I, in a sense, I really feel that the blessing was mine as well, just to see the response of many people. You know, I felt that I hope that I've blessed them, and I know that I did. But I also left with a blessing there. Now, I'll explain a bit later what I mean this morning. Now, I said we're going to speak about the good news of the gospel this morning, and I think as we are nearing the end of the year, it's something that I really want to leave with you guys. So many times, you know, the school kids are, I think in a week or two, you're going to be finished and you're going to go home. And as adults that are working, most people in December this time will almost be on holiday. And it's a time of the year that we slow down and we just gear down a little bit. But I want to encourage you guys to not do it spiritually. You know, you must actually do the opposite. And then when you have a little bit more time to really go and to spend time with God, go and read a nice book and spend time in reading scripture and prayer. And next year when things are fast and furious again, and we don't always have that much time, that you have something to live from, if I can say it. Now, the good news of the gospel. I want to start off by reading to you from Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek also. That means it's for every one of us. So you say to the person next to you, for every one of us. Now, it says to the Jews first and then to the rest of us. Now, I know most of you, and I know there's not a lot of Jews here. In fact, I don't think there's any Jews here this morning. There's only Oom Henning and guys like that. Henning looks like a Oom this morning, but I think that's actually a compliment. You look very nice with your beard. But what I want to say is the Jews don't have any priority or merit in righteousness. They are exactly on the same footing of all of us are. If you look at the first two chapters of Romans, that then you will see that's actually one of the main points that Paul is making there. And I want to read to you from Romans 3 verse 9. What then? Are we Jews better than they, the Gentiles? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. And then he makes the point again in Romans 3 verse 22 to 23. And he says, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Now the reason why I'm just using this as a little introduction, in the media and in many places, even in Namibia, I sometimes hear about people and see that I almost want to call is moving a bit towards Jewelitis. They think we must become a little bit Jewish again to have favor with God, and that is really not true. All of us are Gentiles because we are not Jews, but we are on exactly the same footing with them. All of us need to come to God in the same manner. And also the Jews don't have any priority in salvation. They have to come by faith to Jesus Christ exactly like all of us. It says in Romans 3 verse 29 to 30, is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. That means it's exactly the same for all of us, no matter from which background. And I know we come from Angola and Zimbabwe, South Africa, Namibia, and many places. So we are really from many backgrounds here this morning. But it's something that I want to leave with you. You don't have to. There's a few good principles that we can learn from the Jews, but you don't have to speak Jewish or Hebrew or do all the customs and things. That's not going to give you more favor with God. And then also in Romans 10 verse 12, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So all of us are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. So I just want to say that this morning. So if there's any one of you that maybe, especially the young people, if you read something or heard something, you can be just who you are, speak the language you are, look like you look, you know, all of us look differently. And God will love you, love all of us equally. Now, I want to go on. So that also means that there's one very important word in Romans 1 verse 16, and that's the word everyone. Because if they didn't stand everyone, then we could maybe have a problem here this morning. Now, fortunately, it doesn't matter from what family background, what language, what part of the country, what sexual orientation, anyway, you are coming this morning. We are all on the same footing before God. Now, and that's very good news to us. So as I said, I'm going to talk about the gospel this morning. Now, gospel, the word gospel literally means good news. And it's really good news. And I want us to walk through this a little bit. Now, I know many of you have done Foundation 1 and Foundation 2 and done Bible school, and you've heard a lot about it. But guys, I can tell you this morning with a clear conscience that we need to preach the gospel to believer and unbeliever in the same way. It's many times we think the gospel or the good news is for people who don't know Christ. Yes, it is definitely. But it is as much for all of us here this morning. So I want us to look at a few things this morning. Now, first I want to read just a few from Scripture. And I want to read from Mark 1, verse 1. And that's about the life of Jesus Christ. And it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, Jesus Christ is the gospel. He's the good news. And that is Jesus Christ is who all of us preach. Also, we read in Mark 1, verse 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, I know many people over the centuries have preached the gospel, and it cost their lives. When we did the ministry training program that first 3 months of the year, we did a bit about church history. And I'm not going to go into that because some of you might find it a bit boring. But I can tell you there was a lot of people crucified upside down, eaten by cannibals, and a lot of weird things happening to them while they was preaching the gospel. So we are very privileged in Namibia as a church. We're not in China or in some places in the Middle East where it can really cost you your life if you are preaching the gospel. We can stand here this morning and it's something that we can all proclaim. We can worship together. And we don't have to worry about gunmen outside. Now, the gospel is good news to sinners like all of us. I'm not going to ask this morning who are sinners. I'm definitely one of them. I'm not holy. All of us are sinners. So all of us need the good news of the gospel. And I want to read to you from Romans 5, verse 7 to 9. If there's someone that feels he or she offended by me calling them a sinner, maybe we can just talk afterwards. But I know most of us still battle with a thing or two in our lives. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Now, one reason that Jesus Christ and the gospel is very good news to all of us is that we will be saved from the wrath of God. Now, there's a scripture that says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we must all have just a little bit of a revelation of what that means. Because then all of us, when we go to bed at night or walk out here this morning, will be so much more grateful for what Jesus did for us and for the good news that we have to preach today. In Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we were reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus died as a ransom for all of us. And that's why me and Johnny is not going to hang one day on the cross. Jesus did it in for us. So when we read in Romans 1 verse 16 that the gospel is the power of God for salvation, it means that's the way that God rescues us from his own wrath of God. Now I'm going to read a longer part to you. I'm going to read a lot of scripture to you this morning. If you really want it, then afterwards you can speak to scholar at the office. Then we can give all the scriptures to you. I'm going to read to you as well from Ephesians 2, from verse 1 to 9. But I really believe it's important that we read it this morning. And I want you guys to please listen well. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is now not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So it's a gift for all of us. Salvation is a gift for all of us. None of us are the Son of God or anything that we don't need to be justified. We all need to be justified. And it's a free gift that we receive from Jesus Christ, or that we receive from God. We just need to believe. Now, I said that scripture says for everyone. Now, there's only one thing that can disqualify you from that, and that it's not the power of God unto salvation, and that is if you were not to believe. If you were not to believe in Jesus Christ, then you're going to have a problem. Now, there's three things that we can take from that scripture in Ephesians 2 that's really a good reason why we all need to be justified by Jesus Christ. And the first one is, we could see that we need a Savior because of our corruption and our sinfulness. And then secondly, we need a Savior because of our captivity to Satan, as we read in verse 2 and 3. And then thirdly, we need a Savior because of our condemnation to hell, dead in sin, captive to an alien power, children of wrath. Now, if you were to close your eyes now for a minute or two, and you can think about the worst thing that can happen to you or your family. Maybe you can be driving on your bicycle and a truck can drive into you, or maybe those of you who have kids, losing a kid, losing a husband or a wife. There's many things that we can think of this morning that will really, really be bad to all of us. But guys, there's nothing worse than to die one day and not to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, everyone who calls on His name will be saved. And if you haven't done that before, then you have a problem. Then you won't understand that. Then you might think of any problem that we might face in the next minute or 10 years of our lives. That can seem to be very big. But the problem of going into eternity without a Savior, that's a problem. But the wonderful news is the good news that we can talk about this morning. Now, I want to read you from, it says that we are saved from hell. Now, it sounds very condemning and, I don't really want to talk about eternal judgment and things like that this morning. That's not my heart. I want to talk to us about the good news, but I need to give a balance between both parts. Now, I want to, all of you know the story about Paul from Tarsus. We've got a DVD at home, and a while ago we were looking at it, and you know, seeing the visual of what was happening in Paul's life, I just enjoyed it. You know, reading it in scripture is wonderful, but to see the actual movie, what they made, it gave me such a new, almost a new picture of the circumstances of his life. And when it says he was persecuting the church, he really gave his best to do that. Now, guys, I want to read you another quite a long piece from scripture, but there's a really good point why I want to do that. I want to read you from Acts 9, verse 1, from verse 1 to 20. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate or drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, have I heard from many about this man? How much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And then in verse 20, immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And then it says in verse 21, which I'm going to end with, Then all who heard were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? That's a long part that I'm reading, but we can actually just minister the whole morning around that. The point that I want to make, Saul was there on his road, on the road when this experience happened to him. Now I know, as we are sitting here, I know many of us have experienced something similar in our lives. Saul was persecuting the church. He received all the authority that he might do that. Then let's say the Damascus Road conversion happened to him, and he went to the house of Ananias and he received his sight back. And then after a while, he spent a little bit of time with the disciples. And then it said he started to preach. Now, how can that be? How can a guy like Saul, the one day he was persecuting the Christians, and then I want to say, I can't say exactly, but in a few weeks' time, it must have been, he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the good news. Exactly the opposite as when he was one of the religious Jews persecuting those people who lifted up Jesus Christ and his name and believed in him. That is something, that's the power of the good news. You know, we're not just talking about theory, about Bible, about 2,000 years ago. We see it in many of our lives. We see it in other people's lives. And I know if I were to ask many of you this morning to stand up and to testify, then I know, guys, that we have similar, maybe not as drastical. I know hopefully none of you were persecuting the church before you came to Jesus Christ. But the matter of the fact is that there happened something big in Paul's life. And that's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the good news. That is when we preach Jesus Christ Spirit-filled to people and they react. Then we will see similar things happening. And that is wonderful. And that can be such a motivation for us all to see how God, when we come to Jesus Christ and we open our hearts, and it can be a long process that we are, you know, coming closer to God until a certain time in your life that you say yes to Jesus. Not all of us grow up in homes where our parents are believers, you know. So that's the wonderful news of the good news, that we can be saved from hell, be someone like Paul that was persecuting the Christians, and then in a few weeks' time, he not just believed in Jesus Christ, but he was preaching the gospel. You see, and I didn't see there that he studied theology for 7 years at the university or anything. He was preaching the gospel. Now, I'm not saying this morning it's not a good thing to study scripture, to study theology. That's a good thing as well. But I'm just referring to Paul's circumstances here. It's really something amazing. Now, I want to ask us this morning, then, but obviously you can see the answer already a little bit. How good is the good news? How good, you can see Paul, who wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. I was sure if we could get him here this morning, he would tell us in maybe 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours or longer, the good news is really, really very good. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Roderick, I was looking at you and I know you would also testify that it's very good news. I just saw you there. Amen. Now the answer is, God is demanding something from us that we don't have, and that is righteousness. God demands righteousness and we don't have it. There's nothing in our own strength or in our own ability that we can do to be righteous before God. There's nothing that we can create or say or do, because all of us, from time to time, we all fall short of the glory of God, and we will all misstep or sin from time to time. And because God is a holy God, we need to be punished for that. Now, that sounds a bit harsh this morning, but you know, God is a good God, and that is why that what we needed, God supplied that for us. He gave exactly what we needed to all of us in Jesus Christ, that we can be saved through faith by grace. As I said, it's a free gift. You don't, any of us, have to, there's five steps that you must do, and then you must pay this, and you must give that. It doesn't work like that. It's a free gift. It's something that we must all just respond to sometime and somewhere in our lives. Now, something I want to actually challenge all of us on, if a university professor, and I know he's sitting one, X1 this morning here, two, I think, a university professor sitting here, then his motto will probably be, publish or perish. You know, if you don't publish, you might perish, you're going to be in trouble. And as was referred earlier to the Springboks, if you, you're a sportsman, and you, then your motto can be, perform or perish. That's a fact. And it's been a long year for the rugby players, but I think one of two might perish, because losing to Scotland, it's not something that we are very proud of. But for all sportsmen, if you don't perform, because sport is a performing game, then you're going to perish. Now, for us as the Christ of the Church of Jesus Christ, for all of us sitting here, what can we say for us if we don't do what we will perish? And that is, if we don't cherish Jesus Christ, then we can perish. Now, that means, if we forget about what Jesus Christ means to all of us, then you are walking on thin ice. I want to read a few scriptures to you this morning, again, from Romans 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for the good, for those who cherish God and are called according to His purpose. In Corinthians 2, verse 9, what no eye has seen or ear heard, God prepared for those who cherish Him. Then in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award on me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have cherished His appearing. Then two more, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, we read, if anyone does not cherish the Lord, let him be accursed. And then lastly, grace will be with all who cherish our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternity. Now, that was only a few that I found, and I think there can be more. So it says that we must cherish something. Now, those of you who are what's the word now? Verloof. Engaged, thanks a lot. Those of you who are engaged or married, you'll know that if you don't cherish the relationship, if I don't spend time for 2 or 3 or 5 days or more with my wife, then things are going to start to be a bit uncomfortable. You know, we need to cherish our relationship with each other. Sometimes you haven't seen a friend for a long time, and there's some friends that you can see not for a year, and then you can meet them again, and it can be just wonderful. But sometimes, some friends, if you don't see them for a year or two, maybe they live in South Africa or here or there, then you'll see that it's as if you outgrown each other a little bit. You want to talk about the things you talked about when you were students, and now life has moved on, and it's not the same anymore. Now, it's exactly the same, as I said, with cherishing Jesus Christ. You know, if we don't cherish our Savior, then then the similar thing is going to happen if you don't spend time with the person you are married to. So that's something I just want to almost put out there as a challenge for all of us, just to come back to that place. Maybe you know the Lord a year or two or 5 or 10 or 20 years, but to go back to that place where it's like a first love, where it's like something that you are excited about, not just something you know about. Okay. Then, do I have still more time, Lachia? I still have a few more minutes. Thank you. Then the second last thing that I just want to share with us this morning about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, and I've experienced it firsthand in my life, is to be shamed or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that's not the same thing, to be shamed or ashamed. I want to read to you from Romans 1 verse 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. It's Paul who's writing here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew, and then also for the Greek. So Paul is saying he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we read there in Acts 9, you really had to suffer for the gospel. You know, I remember in the DVD that I watched about Paul of Tarsus, you know, he was so excited when Ananias said to him that he's going to be a light bearer and preach the gospel. And then at the end, he just took Paul by the shoulder and said, listen, Paul, Christ has also shown me how much you're going to have to suffer for the gospel. You know, and then Paul was a bit like, you know, and the thing is, you all know he was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, many bad things happening to him. Now, that he was shamed in many ways, but he was never ashamed about what he believed in. The thing is, what I want to say this morning, we can't alter the gospel. It's already written to us. It's already there. We can't make it less stingy, or I can't tell you, yeah, well, if you give it a good shot, maybe you'll make it, or something like that. It doesn't work like that. God has already set the playing field and how things work. And it's our job as people. We must respond to that. So therefore, I think Paul could say to all of us, and Jesus Christ could say the same to all of us, that yes, we might suffer, we might be misunderstood, we might be shamed, but guys, we don't have to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's something exciting that I can leave all of us here at the end of the year. It's something that we can cherish, it's something that's ours. And obviously, you know me by now, I'm not preaching this to tell you something that you already know. I'm preaching this for all of us, for the people who don't know it, for our friends, the people at work, maybe family, that we can just come back and remember what the good news is. Now, I said I'll come back to my sister's wedding. You know, and you can ask my dad and Tilman and everyone sitting there at the back that was also there. I really didn't make an effort to preach a very deep theological sermon to them and trying to show them something about Scripture or the Bible or history or anything like that. I really tried to bless them, and the things that was on my heart was really plain and simple, you know. And the testimony that I have, and that's why I said it blessed me so much, was, you know, throughout the evening, a few people came to me and I said, I really say it in humility today, it's not about me, that I really enjoyed it. And especially two men, young men, late in the night, they came and they talked about their relationship with God and Jesus Christ and said things weren't so nice and they have a few challenges. And the moral of the story, the thing I want to share with you this morning, is Paul was there and he started to preach the gospel. Now, he was really, really anointed guy. Not all of us are Pauls. In fact, I don't know if any of us are Pauls here in a sense. He really went big. But guys, the thing is, if we only have a few truths and the things that we know from Scripture, many times, if you preach it with an honest and a love of a heart with love, it will be enough. God will do the work. And as I said, I didn't try to get the guys hooked by an intellectual sermon or something like that. It was just sharing my heart. And that will open the door to speak to someone about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, about the good news. And that is my heart, and that is my what I want to give to you guys this morning. You don't have to do Bible school too, or do this or that. It's good to do those things. But many times, just from what you know, they always say, if you are 10 minutes old as a Christian, then you are 10 minutes older than someone who knows nothing. Okay? So maybe you're not going to be able to answer everything and explain everything. There's many deep secrets, I think, in Scripture that we haven't unlocked even today as we're standing here. But guys, that what you do know, it's more than enough to give sometimes. It's more than enough to give to people. Because at the end of the day, people are not looking for an intellectual Jesus. I believe in my heart, the plain simple truth will be many times enough if you preach it with a sincere heart full of love, as I believe Jesus did it. Now, just to come back to being shamed and stuff, Maritza and myself, before the kids were born in 2007, March, just to encourage you a bit, we went up to the Northwest province in South Africa for a wedding of a friend of mine, whose wedding it was, and sure, that was a lot of rough guys there. They were really celebrating the wedding in every way they can, but obviously we arrived there the Friday, and the Friday night we're going to be the wedding itself, and then the Saturday and Sunday people are just going to enjoy it together. Now, I can't tell you how many times at 9 o'clock in the morning I had to say no to a beer or a brandewijn and coke or something like that. And I remember the guy's cousin came, we were at the swimming pool the Saturday morning, and his eyes were already a bit swollen. And the guys, now I'm not going to be able to translate it, so I'm going to say it in Afrikaans, but then you can just translate it to someone next to you if he doesn't know Afrikaans. And me and Maritza, for the so many of time, had to say, no, I don't drink beer at 9 o'clock in the morning or something stronger. And the guy's cousin came to me and he said, like, yeah, het jy 'n verantwoordelikheidsaanval op drie gehad? And I said to him, no, not really, you know, I don't have an attack like that. But the thing is just, I have a few values. Sometimes when we as a family have a braai, I enjoy a beer and I drink it, but I do it responsibly. But not 20 or not early in the morning. So sometimes, and the guy, obviously, he was a well-spoken guy and he made a few comments and jokes. So I could say, if I didn't know what I believed in, I could have been a bit ashamed or shamed, you know. But knowing what I know, it was okay for me. And me and Maritza, just for the so many of time, we laughed. And at the end of the weekend, we just say thank you to the guys. We really enjoyed it to be there. And blessings, and see you next time again. But yeah, that's just something I want to share with you. Many times, especially you young people sitting here this morning, many times people will tell you, but why won't you do this with us? Or why don't you do that? Or come on, you're boring or something like that. And then we must be, no, we don't have to be ashamed. Maybe ashamed for what we believe in, but please don't be ashamed. Amen. So to end off with this morning, guys, we must love the gospel, we must live it, and we must proclaim it. It must be part of our lives. It's something exciting. It's not a burden on our shoulders, something that God is hitting with us with a stick if we're not doing this or not doing that. It's really something this morning I want to encourage you about the good news of Jesus Christ. And then, just for yourselves, I want to ask you this morning, is the gospel still good news to you? As you are sitting here this morning, maybe you can just reflect a little bit on this year. Is it still good news to you? And then we never, never, never outgrow our need for the gospel. We don't start with the gospel like maybe Paul did on the Damascus Road and we came to salvation and we start to grow and then we get stronger and then we can stand on our own feet and then we don't need the gospel. No. You'll need the gospel and the truth of the gospel till the day that you die. All of us will need it. So, I want to encourage you to live the gospel and to embrace the good news at this end of the year and to share it. And that will be, I think, the only platform that you build on for 2011. It can be the only thing, the gospel, the knowledge of Jesus Christ and that good news. I believe there's nothing more important for us to build our lives upon and to go with that into the holiday and also on next year to start off with the good news of the gospel. So can I ask you guys to stand with me this morning? We are going to continue worshiping a little bit, and I just want to call the worship team. Oh, you're finished. Okay, well that's not the end of the world, but I want to ask you guys as if we can just for a moment stay in a in a serious moment. Hannes, maybe you can just tockle the guitar a little bit. But I just want to ask you this morning, guys, if we're not going to worship, maybe, guys, you can just sit for a moment. Sorry, I think me and Leanne misunderstood each other a little bit, but that's not a problem. I want to ask all of us, maybe as Hannes, I'm just going to start to slowly pray a little bit. If you can just close your eyes for 1 second, if you just that you can focus on what I'm going to say right now. If there's any one of you this morning here, as you are just reflecting into your own heart and into your own life this morning, as we are ending off this morning and ending off the end of the year, if there's any one of you guys, for whatever reason, maybe offense, someone said something to you, maybe I said something to you, or anything else, if your heart has grown cold to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the good news, maybe something happened in your life and you really don't feel like spending time with God anymore. You don't want to read scripture. You don't want to pray anymore. You don't want to come to church even maybe. If anything like that has happened, I want to give an opportunity to you this morning. As the people, we are actually going to worship a little bit this morning. But I really want to call you this morning. If you feel you need prayer or just want to talk, me and Francia, we will be in the front. And I just want to invite you to come to the front. We would really like to pray with you this morning if you feel that you are not interested in the gospel anymore. And then secondly, if you are sitting here this morning and you have never ever made a commitment to Jesus Christ, if you feel you have never ever said yes to Him, you've heard about the good news and you know about it, but you never had a revelation about that. It never really was part of your life. Then I also want to call you this morning and extend my hand. I would love to pray with you this morning if you feel that you have never made a commitment to Jesus Christ. As we are going to start to worship now, if there's anyone like that, those two groups, I would really like to call you to the front and I would love to pray with you this morning. And then also, if there's anyone here this morning and you need prayer about any other thing, I also want to ask you, you can please come to the front. We would love to pray with you. I can do nothing for you, but I believe the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ can. So we're going to stand, we're going to worship. I want to thank you guys for being here today. I trust that you'll enjoy the rest of the Sunday morning with us. Please join us for coffee or cool drink afterwards. And I'm looking forward to see you in 2 weeks' time. Amen.
And And knowing you, there is no greater peace. You're my hope, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. Ooh, Jesus. And knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my hope, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. Yeah, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord.
Thank you.